Good Monday, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our Week 8 edition of the Coordinator's Corner presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. Coming up on today's show, we'll review Saturday's home setback to Arkansas, get Players of the Week, and look ahead to the Cougars' first ever trip to Lynchburg, Virginia, and a Saturday meeting with fellow FBS independent Liberty. And to do all of that, we visit today with BYU defensive coordinator Eli Satuiaki and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. And we start things out with BYU's DC and D-tackles coach Eli Satuiaki. Coach E, good to have you back in.
Thanks, Craig.
Well, one of the tougher days you've had as a DC Saturday against Arkansas?
It's the toughest day that I've had in 7 years. I mean, we gave up more than 50 points, which is the second time it's happened in 7 years. But the last time against Toledo, we won.
It was a win, yeah.
So totally different feeling. But the feeling during the game was the same as the Toledo game, which is we didn't have an answer. We weren't playing well, and Arkansas was a really good team.
BYU had won 18 straight games when they just scored 30 or more. Usually 30 is a pretty good number to get to. But like Kalani said, 52 is the tough number. It's just too high.
Yeah. I mean they're obviously a great team, and you know, in hindsight, you go back and look at things that you hope you would have done a little bit differently. But we weren't playing confidently. Calls didn't matter in the game, and we kind of just went round and round about what to try differently, and it just didn't work. And so we've got to get back to a point where we're playing more confidently on defense. I know sometimes it's hard to be confident when you're banged up and hurt, which our players are banged up and they're battling right now. But we've got to be better as coaches, and I know the players want more as well.
When you did start thinking back on it, what did you think would have been done differently, and how much could you not do in the course of the game that might have been different?
You know, I mentioned it while I was in the box room on the headset, and it was just didn't have an answer. And I said, if you told me we would have scored 35 points, I would have sat and dropped 8 and made them earn it the whole way, and I think we would have won. And that's not the answer. It's just how much of that can you, taste good to you during the game? You know, how much can you play that? But it's when you're facing a team like that that goes fast, that where you're blowing assignments, you're not playing with good technique. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong that game went wrong. And, you know, we even went to some of the coverages that were a little bit safer and just still blew coverages. I mean, one of the touchdowns we gave up came over the top of a corner playing cover 3, and it's just, you know, eyes in the wrong spot and just bad. And whatever the case was, it just wasn't good. And so when you're in those type of games, I mean, it's really difficult. And it's nice, I think, to have kind of a catch-all just to back up, regroup, just – you know, you may be bleeding a little bit, but you're just giving your players an opportunity to keep everything in front and rally and tackle. And I thought that, sitting in a drop 8 would have given us an opportunity to do that. But, talking about before, leading up to the game, felt like you don't want to play drop 8 because this quarterback will sit back there and pat the ball and throw it. But he ended up doing it anyways. And when we went, 4-man rush, 5-man rush, 6-man rush, almost got a sack and gave it up, and he still made plays. And so it was just a tough game overall, I think, for all of us on defense, coaches and players. It was unacceptable. We have to be better. We know we need to be better. And we've got to work hard these next couple of weeks because the standard is high, and we know that we can play well. We're just the confidence is shot a little bit, and we've got to get it back.
So you said toughest day in 7 years. Not that I'm going to have you catalog all the teams you face, but when you have to rate Arkansas as an offense to prepare for, having seen them, how good an offense is Arkansas among the ones you've had to coach against here at BYU?
Yeah, I mean, they're a great offense. You know, obviously, just with the weapons that they've got, the scheme that they run, I mean, it's really difficult to keep up with. And we talked about as a staff just going in, preparing for these guys felt a lot like preparing for an academy school. And it's not, they don't run the option, they actually pass the ball, but it's the type of scheme that felt like we needed to get it in, practice it, and it's either going to work or it's not. And you know, felt like we were in spots to make some plays sometimes, just didn't. But it's also when you're wholesale in to what you're going to do that week, and it doesn't work, it's real difficult to change things up in the middle of the game.
We just saw that the escape act of KJ Jefferson on that, where he looks like you've got him twice.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We let that one get away from us, and so
interesting that the game began, first two series, You get a takeaway and a forced punt, and then a punt and pin on top of that. So the game began in a way that had you, I guess, in a comfortable spot.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of similarities in the Virginia game, last year, where it felt like, okay, maybe we're playing too much man. Our guy's getting tired. Because as soon as you start playing tired, you play with bad technique. And so, okay, let's mix in a couple more zones in there. And it's just, for whatever reason, it just didn't work. And as we watched film, and I mean, you can go round and round about what should have been done differently, who should have been playing. You know, this guy, the bottom line is we got to be better. And it starts from the top, and it starts with myself and the coaches and whatever the answer is, we've got to find a way.
Tempo was a factor in this game, though, right? They ran it fast. 50 plays they snapped in the first half. No huddle was the way they wanted to do it.
Yeah, the tempo teams, especially with the players that they've got and the execution level that they were playing at that day, it got to us.
We chatted about it last week. Coming into the game, only the service academies were running it more frequently than Arkansas. Arkansas was averaging a large number of rush attempts per game. First half, though, they throw it 28 times, run it 22 times. Were they more throw heavy than you maybe thought they would be coming in?
It was the situations that we felt like they were throwing, felt like we could get out of those, but we just weren't getting any push up front. Probably a little banged up there, and where we would normally want to keep a spy on them, flush them out of there, and get to the quarterback to get them on the move. We weren't getting that, and we were playing with the four-man rush with the spy, which put everybody else on an island, and mm-hmm. and he wasn't getting pushed around, or he wasn't moving around back there, and so in hindsight, okay, instead of spying, let's just send all five, make the rush a little bit better, and hope that he doesn't get out of the pocket. And so, you know, it's just the game plan going in just wasn't good, you know, with us thinking that we can collapse the pocket and flush him to a spy player mm-hmm. waiting. He did a great job sitting in the pocket.
He was pretty patient, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so then the scouting report on Jefferson, what did you think you had, and what did he maybe show you that maybe was beyond the scouting report on Saturday?
I thought that he played exactly how we thought he would. It wasn't timing passes, and it wasn't like you're running a curl route and the timing's perfect. It's backyard football sometimes, and I don't mean that in a negative way towards the way that they play, but the receivers know to run a certain route, and they snap it off and find an open space, and that's kind of hard because you're not covering a curl route anymore. You're covering a curl route that ends up going a little bit longer that were guys trying to find space inside or outside, and you have to stick on them. And they just did a good job with completing those and getting in. We didn't do a good enough job getting pressure on the quarterback or getting them to move around. The way that we rushed the quarterback and the way that we spied him just didn't work on Saturday.
We talked about and showed that play where he escapes the sack a couple times. Let's reinforce the fact this is a 6'3", 242-pound quarterback back there. He's an impressive player.
Yeah, he's a big, strong, physical runner, and his ability to get away and all the film that we've seen leading up to it, you could put a highlight together with all the missed sacks that he's come away from him. It's hard to sack him, hard to tackle him. He's a guy that knows how to get away from tacklers and make plays downfield.
Now, it wasn't as if BYU's out of this game from the get-go. Not at all. BYU led 13-7 after one, leading 21-14 in the second. You found yourselves in a shootout. When you even just hold the team to a field goal, you feel like, okay, we're ahead of the game here.
Absolutely, and that was, you know, kind of the thought process as the game went on. Felt like our offense was on fire. Our offense was doing their thing, and we just needed a stop or two right. stops, and we'd come away with it. But it just didn't go that way.
BYU had a turnover on downs that led to a short field touchdown by Arkansas, and Coach Pittman looked back. I think maybe even Kalani the same way, because that was kind of a turning point of the game.
It was a turning point of the game. I don't think it's any fault of the offense. I felt like we just didn't play well on defense, you know, and you give that up, and at that point in the game, you turn around and you keep playing ball, and you find ways to win the game, and we just didn't.
BYU hoped to control the middle eight because they were going to get the ball back in the second half, the Cougars, that is, and Arkansas scores that touchdown in the final minute of the first half, put you down 10. A little bit deflating right there to have them score on you when you figure you can maybe score and then score again in the third.
Yeah, for sure. It's you always want to try to score last before halftime and get the ball back and score right away. And we haven't been good in that phase, and we have to be better.
down 31-21 then at halftime. At the break, BYU had given up 373 yards, including 242 through the air. The third down number was a big one all game, but 7 of 9 of their third downs in the first half kept drives alive.
Yeah, the whole game, the third downs was something. I mean, it was an issue this week. It was an issue last week. And so, you know, the changes that we've got to make schematically, as well as just personnel-based, I mean, we've got to do something different. And we're looking at that, and things will happen differently.
You mentioned already that you were a little banged up up front in particular. Does this feel like a typical year injury-wise, or you feel like you're heavier hit, or where are you right now in terms of bodies available that you need to have on the field right now?
We're missing guys at some places, but it's also the guys that are out there. They're battling. They're battling through a lot of different injuries, and I think that everybody's like that at this point. But you know, with where we're at last year and this year, I mean, going 10 weeks in a row without a bye,
yeah.
It's tough to ask your team to do it. But we got a couple more games before the bye actually hits, and we've got a. You know, next year and the following year, when you look back at the record, nobody's really going to remember or care about where your buys were. They just look at win-losses, and so we've got to find ways to win.
Before our break, what was your halftime reset mindset on Saturday when you saw what had happened and hope to get something done in the second half?
You know, it was really about just trying to stay fresh. We felt like we were drooping off tackles, that guys weren't playing confidently because they were exhausted. And so trying to get fresher bodies in there. I mean, you saw up from the box, right? Sometimes it looked like a hockey lineup. And, yeah. And it's not the first time that it's happened. It happens throughout the year. But you know, trying to keep fresh bodies in there, then all of a sudden another guy's down, then another guy's down, and it's you're going deep into your depth chart, and you're seeing numbers and players play that weren't playing at the beginning of the year or were on the scout team earlier in the week.
All right, more with Coach E is coming up. It is time for a short break for us, and a reminder that BYU Football with Kalani Sitake airs tomorrow night and every Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time. You can watch it on the BYU TV app, hear it on the BYU Radio app. Live studio audience for the show. If you're on my Twitter feed today, you'll see the seat request link, and you can join us over in Studio C across the hall tomorrow night. Coming up next, a back-and-forth battle in the second half goes the way of the Razorbacks. Plus, we'll get some players of the week as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. More with Coach E after this. Off to Sanders. Patient run for Raheem Sanders, and the pile pushes to the 50. It'll be a gain of 5, third down and 5 coming up. The ball came loose. BYU signals football, and the Cougars have it on the turnover. Keenan Peely on the takeaway. An early in the game takeaway for the Cougs. BYU falls to 4-3 on the season after that loss to Arkansas on Saturday. Back-to-back setbacks for BYU now. They go on the road to play at Liberty this weekend. Well, Coordinator's Corner continues now. BYU defensive coordinator and D-tackles coach Eli Satuiaki with me. It was an outlier game, clearly. You already mentioned right off the top, only the second game allowing 50 or more in the Kalani Sitake era. But that first one, BYU wins at 55-53. Back in 2016, and you were in the same kind of shootout on Saturday. It's 38-35 in the third quarter, so it is still back and forth. BYU was right there despite allowing a lot of yards and points.
Yeah, you know, we were hoping that things would start to click, but they just never did. I mean, I really felt like, you know, in the fourth quarter, our confidence was completely shot. It really didn't matter. What we did, and you know, it was our job as coaches to try to inspire them to be better at you know, there's so many different things going on, and it you know, from the top all the way down, it's the checks that we're asking them to make, you know, the mischecks that they were making, just that's got to come back on myself and us as coaches, that you know, if they weren't playing confidently, something needed to change, and it just didn't.
Before I get back into the game, what kind of message do you think is most important for the guys to hear when you do get together on a day like today to kind of set the plan for the week?
You know, it's time to get that back. I mean, you can't play with any kind of fear or doubt and be confident and have faith at the same time. I mean, those two things don't exist. They can't exist at the same time. And so we've got to have more faith in each other. We have to have more faith in what we're doing and what we're asking them to do. And you know, whatever role, you know, obviously when you have games like that from top to bottom, there you've got to look at who's doing what. What role are you asked to do? Are you going to change your role? You know, our players, are always scrutinized for the way that they play and changes are made. And so for us as coaches, we got to look at it as well and just figure out, do roles need to change and are we on board, you know? And so that's, for us, it's about the team. It's always got to be about the team. It's always got to be about what's best for the boys and for the fan base, you know? Us as coaches, you know, we're doing our best, trying to figure things out, and we argue all the time about what we should or shouldn't do. And after it's all done, we leave the room speaking the same language and pushing the same direction, and that direction is Kalani's vision's direction. So it's not going to be any different this time. You know, we're going to ask some players to change their roles. We're going to ask some coaches to change their roles, and we have to go about it for the rest of the season. Yeah, I think we can still have a great season, right? I mean, if we come out of this thing with more wins, you know, finish the season really with a lot of wins, I think we're looking at could possibly, if you win the rest of them, you won't walk away with 10 of them, 10-3. Mm-hmm. You know, if you drop one more, which you don't plan to, you're walking away with a 9-4 record. And you know, there's still a lot of bright spots that you can look at as a team. You know, obviously the plan going in was to try to win all of them, and that's still going to be the plan. But we've got to find a way to do it, and it's got to start with us as coaches to buy into whatever role that we've got. You know, we've got to be loyal to the program, true and strong, just like the song says. And mm-hmm. You know, you fight day and night, you know, rain or snow, and it's right now it's raining and it's storming, you know, for us on defense, and we've got to fight through it. And we've got to find a way to do it, and everybody's got to buy in and get behind and push. And that's the plan moving forward.
Kalani was an offensive player here at BYU. He's coached offense in the past, but he's been a defensive coach for such a long time now. How is it to have a head coach that is a defensive mind, and how close does that keep you guys during the season in formulating game plans and making changes like you talk about when they have to be made?
Always involved. You know, obviously my job is to make him happy. And so every one of us, all the coaches, our job is to make the head coach happy. And obviously when we're winning, he's happy. And when we're not, then he's unhappy. And he's got to step in because it's his name on the line. When all this is done, said and done, Kalani has a head coach's record, and I don't. You know, I walk away and I'm still 0-0 as a coordinator, and so all the other coordinators and coaches. And so whatever he feels we need to do in order for us to be better, we've got to do it. And we spoke after the game, and I encouraged him. I told him, whatever you need to do, we need to do it. We need to do whatever your vision is, and I've got your back, and we move forward, and we'll roll. And so if his vision is for me to clean toilets every single day and it's going to make us win games, then you'll see me in there giving my best efforts in whatever the smallest task is. And so we've just got to have that attitude and that effort to move forward, and I think that's where we're at right now.
I want to dip back into the game a bit for a couple things before you look ahead. And there were three different Arkansas players who had 10-plus carries on the day. Raheem Sanders was the star. 15 for 175, two touchdowns, 12 yards per carry. I mean, you see a lot of good running backs in the SEC, and he's the latest. He's just a solid player. I thought he was a patient runner and explosive when he got in space.
Yeah, he's big. I mean, he's big and physical, and what you're talking about is exactly right. The longest run of the night that we gave, which was this one right here, I mean, we're fitted up wrong in our run fits. We're missing tackles at certain spots, and you give a team and a running back like this that much space, then and miss tackles, he's gonna make you pay.
BYU's third down number on the year, we hit it earlier, but BYU ranks 123rd right now on third down defense. Is there a common thread that is kind of you're noticing in third downs? Is it down in distance? Is it longer, shorter? What are you seeing that's maybe the biggest problem getting off the field?
Yeah, it's really we've got to completely just put a different package together. I mean, what we've asked the players may not be the best thing that they're good at or whatever the case is, but their opportunities are there, and we've got to take advantage of them when they show up. But something's got to change, right? And that's what we've talked about is something's got to change. Change sometimes is uncomfortable for everybody, but looking at third down packages, that's got to be scrutinized. What's being called's got to be scrutinized. Who's playing's got to be scrutinized. And so we got to find a way. And we're at a point right now where we're in the middle of the season. There's still a lot to salvage and a lot of ball to be played. And I think that we can come away with a successful season if we can fix these things. And everything is up for discussion on the table. And I think that's what we need to do.
A couple personnel notes, if you can share any light on it. Malik Moore has been out for a little bit at safety, and you hope to get him back here in the coming weeks?
Hopefully. I think it's still probably a couple of weeks away, but okay. We'll see how he's doing with that.
Blake Mangelson's got to be getting close, we think.
We're hoping we can get him this week, but we'll probably find out tomorrow. If he can practice tomorrow and Wednesday, then we'll get him back. But because obviously we leave Thursday, but if he's not practicing at a high level, then we'll probably wait on him one more week.
And we saw Peyton Wilgar go out in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to lose. We'll evaluate and see where he's at. If his injury is a little bit more serious, then we probably gain him in a couple weeks, and hopefully he can come back and play this week.
It's never always going to be all about sacks. Sacks is a number that people gravitate to. But in terms of pressure or havoc or disruption, sacks, TFLs, where do you want to be? How can you get there?
It's about, to me, it's about takeaways. And
and you have 7 takeaways in 7 games, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. Yep. In answer to your question, yeah, we got some takeaways, need more. But to me, those opportunities, when you're talking about the analytics and statistics and where do those happen the most, those happen in dropback passes. And in dropback passes, we're not disruptive enough. We're not getting enough. And so sacks, strip fumbles, and interceptions, those are 75% of takeaways. And so we've got to, in the situations where we know a pass is coming, or we've got to do something different. And so we'll look at that and just change it up.
Okay, let's get to our players of the week. Defensively, you ID'd Tyler Batty for his work against Arkansas.
Yeah, it was it was difficult watching the film. It was as painful watching it as it was in the middle of the game, but I thought that he was the bright spot. I mean, there's a lot of great effort being given in a bunch of different places, especially by guys that are banged up. But he was a guy that really stuck out in the way that he played. I mean, just physical and alive, he looked like he belonged.
And because of where you're playing him, whether he's spy or otherwise, you got him sometimes standing up, looking like a linebacker. He's pretty versatile that way.
Yeah. I think the more that we can do for him by way of keeping him versatile, the better it'll be for his future.
All right, let's take a break. And as we do so, we'll remind you that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality, and a lot of it, in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Well, this weekend, BYU visits the Liberty Flames in Lynchburg, Virginia. Tune in for Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 11:30 a.m. Mountain, this upcoming Saturday. Coming up next, closing comments with BYU's defensive coordinator, Eli Satuiaki. The coordinator's corner continues right after this. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Stay with us. Jaron takes the snap at his midsection. Quick fire to the far side. Caught by Epps. 12, 10, 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Cody Epps! 5 consecutive games with a score. You are in the coordinator's corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We're visiting with BYU defensive coordinator Eli Satuiaki, 4-3 BYU, visiting 6-1 Liberty this Saturday at Williams Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia. This past weekend at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, a beautiful sunny Saturday afternoon and a sold-out crowd for BYU and Arkansas. A whiteout, a great crowd support, and it has been that way all season for BYU.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd everywhere we go, no matter where we play, is awesome, and obviously home games are special. It was sitting in the box looking down. It was awesome.
You got down on the field afterward. Usually you get down to field level when the game ends.
Yeah, came down to the field, and obviously there's emotions are high for everybody, and there's a gentleman sitting in the south end zone, just right over the goalpost, that he and I had an exchange. And I just thought that was unbecoming. And so I wanted to apologize to that gentleman. If you watch Coordinator's Corner, what you said was correct. I've got to be better. And so we'll go out there and we'll fix what we need to, and we'll be better.
Okay, look to put a fix in against Liberty this weekend. What do you think about the Liberty Flames? They're a 6-1 team on the year. They're scoring around 30 points a game. Quarterback question marks, maybe talk a bit about that. What do you see from Liberty?
Yeah, well-coached team. Obviously we played them when Hugh came down here a couple of years ago, and they've won a lot of games in the last couple of years, and they've got good players. They've got dynamic receivers. They've got the quarterbacks, all the quarterbacks that they've shown, I think that they're all different. And so who plays quarterback this week is going to be huge for us game planning. We've got to prepare for all of them.
And again, you could be seeing Charlie Brewer. Last year when Utah came to visit BYU and the Cougs won, Charlie Brewer was the starting quarterback. That day he's since transferred to Liberty, and he suffered a broken bone in his hand season opener.
Yeah.
And I think he's close. This could be the week that he gets back.
Yeah, we're hearing that he's supposed to be back. You know, obviously he's different. He's a dynamic thrower, and he you know, a lot of problems with him, and so we've got to prep for both quarterbacks. But Bentley Hanshaw, who's one of our guys, is there now playing, and he's having a good experience, and we'll see him as well on Saturday.
Son of former Cougar offensive lineman Tim Hanshaw out there. All right, last thing for you then. If you could describe what you hope this team's defensive mentality and mindset is heading down the stretch, what would it be?
We need to get back we need to get back to who we were, which we were playing confidently. We were making plays, we were making people earn it, and we've just got to get back to that. And whatever it's going to take as we go behind closed doors and game plan and work through things, we're going to get back to that. And that's the plan. And you know, the players want it, you know, the fans want it, we do as well as coaches, and so we're going to get it done.
All right, E, we'll see you back here in a couple weeks. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, folks, you can get expanded pregame coverage of BYU's game against Liberty this Saturday. It's BYU Sports Nation Game Day, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on BYU TV. Coming up next, we'll hear from BYU's offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick. This is the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with A-Rod right after this. You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU now 4-3 on the season after Saturday's 52-35 home loss to Arkansas in the first ever meeting between these two programs. They'll meet again next season in Fayetteville. We begin the second half of today's show with BYU's offensive coordinator and QB coach, Aaron Roderick. Coach A-Rod, good to have you back in.
Good to be here.
All right, how do you summarize what went down on Saturday?
I thought we played well on offense for most of the game. Had a couple of critical errors that were costly, but we did a lot of good things as well that gave us a chance to be in it. And the thing I was most pleased with was just the physicality we played with. That's an SEC defense that really, they got zero sacks against us as a top 10 team in the nation in sacks. And we were physical in the run game, I thought, especially in that third quarter. We got the run game going, and we were controlling the line of scrimmage.
And you were down some weapons going in. Gunnar Romney, Miles Davis, Lopini Katoa. Those were three pretty important players to your offense, and you had to go elsewhere.
Yeah, Chris Brooks played a solid game, and Mason Fakahua stepped up and did some good things for us as well. But, yeah, it was a little worrisome there. Running back, we had three running backs dressed. I've never had that few, three running backs dressed for the game. So that's why we used Puka a little bit. And last year a huge part of our run game was Jaren. And this year we've been a little more cautious with that. And then with Jaren just dealing with a little banged up right now, that's not really an option right now to use him in the run game. So, yeah. Most of his yards are just going to come when he scrambles or maybe a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, more about that in a second. But, yeah, so the running backs would have been Brooks, Fakahua, and Ropati then on Saturday.
Yeah,
and that was it for you.
Those were the only three that dressed.
Yeah. For those curious, because we haven't talked about him for a while, Jackson McChesney is not a factor right now for you.
Yeah, he's out for the season. I don't know if that's been stated, but he's out, and which is it's disappointing because he's a really good player, and he's a physical runner, which is something that we could really use against these Power 5 opponents. You need someone that can break tackles, so we miss him.
So Jaren being a little banged up, you talked about, but was there already a plan to dial it back in the run game for him going in this year?
Yeah, we were planning to dial it back a little bit, but it's nice to have those moments where you don't know if he's going to pull it and run or not, and that is definitely something we're missing. But I am pleased with how we ran the ball, though. I mean, we were efficient running the ball, and the first two drives of the third quarter, we went 10 plays, 75 yards, two possessions in a row, mostly running the ball and eating up some clock. I think we ate about 5 minutes each of those drives. I was trying to help our defense get some rest and control the game a little bit. Both of those drives cut the score to 3. I thought we were right there in it, and I was really pleased with the way we ran the ball in those two possessions.
Back to Jaron for a sec. He did complete a new career high in single-game passing yardage and was just different than he was the week before in Las Vegas. How would you contrast the two outings and how ready he was to play?
Much better. And he practiced all week last week, and he's still dealing with a little bit of pain, but there is no damage to the injury. Has been MRI'd, and there's no damage there. He's just dealing with a little bit of pain, but the practice reps really showed. I thought he played very well. Made one mistake that they made a great play, but I thought he played a really, really solid game and gave us a good chance to win.
Number that jumps out from Saturday had to be after only two giveaways in six games, you have three in the one game.
Yeah, and the fourth and one was obviously, that's a play that stands out. We would love to have that play back. You know, if you throw the ball 41 times and throw one interception, that's not gonna always kill you. I mean, we don't want to throw interceptions, but when you put the ball in the air 41 times, there's a good chance that one of them is gonna end up in the other team's hands. And then I thought the last turnover was really inconsequential. We were just doing everything we can to stay in the game. Puka was fighting for extra yards, and we're not gonna beat ourselves up about that one. We're just gonna move on and keep playing what we do.
Yeah, less impactful than what came earlier, certainly. Yeah. Interesting that the game itself began with a rarity these days. A team wins a toss and elects to receive the kickoff, which you almost never see happen.
Yeah, you don't see that very often, and good for them having that confidence to do it.
And within a few plays, you got the ball away.
Yeah, and that's the irony of it. We got the ball back, and that was our only three and out. Of the first half, or maybe of the game. I think it was for sure of the first half. And I even thought that when I liked what we did on that series. Our third down play, I thought we should have got a PI call there to Puka, and we didn't get it. But after that, we got rolling and started scoring some points. It was a good first half.
Yeah, it was three consecutive TD drives after that three and out on the Arkansas side of the field. And the first drive in particular features a tremendous, we may see it again here, a tremendous sideline grab from Puka Nacua. When it happens live, I think he's out of bounds. And then you realize, oh my gosh, you got both his toes down.
He made a great catch, and he was really not the main target on that play, but he got press coverage, and the coverage just dictated that that's where Jaron needed to go.
We'll get a great view of it here.
Yeah, unbelievable throw and catch. I mean, that's a dime of a throw, and a great job keeping his feet in bounds.
All right, how can you, you can't overstate the value of having Puka Nacua back and in your lineup and more or less at full strength.
Yeah, he changes everything. The jet sweep game alone, I mean, it just, the threat of giving him the jet sweep opens up the inside runs so much more. And he is such a dynamic playmaker that, it changes our play action pass as well. When you have to honor him on a jet sweep, plus the hand, the ability to hand it off to the back, and then we can still throw the ball down the field. And then, he's a great player.
You mentioned a minute ago wishing you'd gotten a PI call on that first drive. You got a few, though. Arkansas's defensive backs were were tough to deal with for them.
We did, and that's by design. We coach our guys to compete for the ball. There's technique involved in that where you're using the proper technique that Fessy coaches to give yourself the best chance to make the play, but if not, you put yourself in a position where we're either going to come down with the ball or we're going to draw the pass interference. And there's technique and coaching involved in that, and so that is by design. So we didn't get the one, so I'm not going to complain, because we got some other ones where our guys were doing it right, and those were the correct calls because we were using the right technique.
I want to hit Cody Epps. He was your offensive player of the week each of the last 2 weeks, I think, coming in.
And could have been again. He graded over 90% again.
Yeah, it seems to get better every week. He scores the TD late in the first. He's got six touchdowns on the season, and they've all come in the last five games. He's scored in five straight games.
Yeah, he's a very productive player, just does everything right. It's a really fun guy to coach because he makes the game look so easy.
We're going to see Cody's stats come up on the board. And again, we call him a veteran freshman. He's been around a while, but still eligibility-wise, he's in a freshman season right now, which means you've got years of Cody Epps. And that's a tantalizing thought, actually.
Yeah, he just gets better every game. And his feel for the game, his feel for space. And then what I'm impressed with is the contested catches he makes. He's not the biggest guy on the field at all. We have some big receivers. But he plays as physical as anyone with, hanging onto the ball and in traffic and has no fear of going over the middle.
What's your philosophy, personal philosophy on receivers and size, since you bring it up?
Well, it's an intentional thing. We've recruited big receivers on purpose. We want big targets. We want guys that are, you know, physical and have great range. You know, you don't always have – they're open when they're not open. You know, if you use the kind of techniques that we teach, a big receiver can be open even when he's not. But there's always a place for someone that either has great speed or, like in Cody's case, just such great feel for the game. He knows how to get open. He knows how to you know, just navigate space on the field, and he's tough, you know, so there's, you know, we'll take any great football player. Mm. And so we'll make exceptions if they fit the right criteria.
Got it. After the Epps TD, there was a missed PAT, and the kicking game is kind of up and down for BYU right now. So how much, if they are, the kicking issues affecting maybe your play calling decisions when you get around the 40 and it's time to think about that kind of thing? Or are you considering it right now?
Honestly, it is a factor, yes. We're playing for touchdowns, and that's one thing I was pleased with Saturday. We had three red zone appearances and got three touchdowns. You know, it was one of the only positives of the Notre Dame game was when we got down there, we scored a touchdown. And so we are being aggressive for sure in that area of the field and trying not to, you know, it's not about blaming anyone. It's just about playing through what our deficiencies have been so far this season.
Okay. This was a shootout. It was back and forth. And yeah. there was a turning point that was unusual in the second quarter because it comes on a 4th-and-1 at your own 35. And the more interesting thing is it had been ruled a first down, right? Didn't they take a look at it during the break and overturn the measure?
Yeah. And I don't know. It was a close call. I think I thought Jaron got it, but they called us short. And so it was an unfortunate turn of events there. That was a disappointing play for sure.
So it's 4th and inches at your own 35, but I know how you call plays. Like, it wouldn't have been the craziest thing to go for it on 4th and inches. Correct. From your own 35, but what was the real plan there?
Well, we thought they would jump. We had a play. It's actually no play at all. We were going to motion Puka across, and as he crosses the center, we're going to say set hut and our cadence right there and see if they jump, and then we're going to call timeout and decide what to do after that. Or, you know, we can check to another play, but most likely we would have called timeout and then talked about, okay, how are we going to get this foot? But we were certain they were going to jump, get the penalty, you know, and
move it that way.
Yeah, and we had a little confusion apparently. I'm not sure. I'm going to be talking to Joe later today. I mean, we've talked already, but we're going to talk more later.
Because Connor and Joe were both playing Saturday, weren't they?
Yeah, Joe played center Saturday, and it's unfortunate. He played a very good game, and that was the one mistake he made. And, you know, when you play center and you have one of those mistakes, everybody in the stadium sees it, and everybody talks about it all weekend. And it definitely overshadows what a good game he played otherwise. But, you know, it's our responsibility as coaches. It didn't go the way it was planned, so I'll take the heat for it.
So in tennis terms, Arkansas breaks serve there as it was back and forth, and they score. And then the chance to own the middle eight goes away on a pick right before halftime. They score off that as well.
Yeah, that was a double move play to Puka. We had been setting this up for weeks. Thought it was there, but the guy got his hands on Puka a little bit, and Jaron probably should have just gotten off of it and gone backside to the dig. They made a good play there, but you know, I don't think the game hung on this play necessarily. I mean, we had 41 pass attempts again. If you throw one pick in 41 attempts, that's not awful. And we were still in that game deep in the third quarter. You know, cut it to 3 twice. I have a hard time just putting the game on one snap or one play. You gotta look at the whole thing in totality, and we gotta just fix our deficiencies and then keep building on the things we're doing well.
BYU was down 10 at the break, but got the ball to begin the second half and scored right away. And we'll head to break with a reminder to watch after further review tomorrow at 7 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, David Nixon breaking it down for you. When we come back, we'll get into that second half and get an Offensive Player of the Week from offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We're back with Coach A-Rod right after this.
A touchdown, Puka Nacua! For the first time this season, Cougs make it a one-score game again.
Back on the coordinator's corner, chatting with BYU's offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Cougs now 4-3 on the year after Saturday's home set back to Arkansas. BYU at 6-1 Liberty this Saturday. You were down 31-21 at the break, but you got the ball to open the second half Saturday. Touchdown. First of back-to-back touchdown drives, and they were Puka's second and third touchdowns of the day. He had one through the air, but he's a jet sweep guy for you now.
Yeah.
I think you told me earlier in the year, maybe the best like fly sweeper you've coached.
Best I've ever coached. He's last season he was over 14 yards per jet sweep, and so we, you know, in the off season we were like, well, we need to get it to him even more. And then the first play of this season, he goes 75 yards, and then so now that we've got him back, it's going to be a part of every game plan. I mean, the other teams are going to know that that's what we do. We have a lot of good plays off of that where he can run it or we can fake it to him and do other things with the ball, but he's such a threat.
Why is he so good at it?
He just has a knack for it. I mean, he's physical, he's hard to tackle, he can make you miss or break tackles, and then he has a great feel for how to set up his blocks.
And it was funny that the touchdown highlight we showed coming out of the break, it's actually his first touchdown catch of the year. We're seven games in. He missed a couple too, but he'd been scoring so many times on the ground for you.
Yeah, that's surprising, but you know, we got him the ball 14 times Saturday, and that should be, now that he's healthy and practicing all the time, you know, that should be more of that to come.
And he's good to go. We mentioned earlier how you didn't have Gunner. Do you hope to have Gunner back this week?
Hope to, yeah. I think there's a good chance we'll have him back. We should be pretty close to full strength this week.
Including your running backs that we didn't have this past week?
I'm expecting to get Miles and Peeney back. It's not 100% sure yet, but I expect them both to play.
The Arkansas game was so crazy. It felt like, in a lot of ways, like a lot of SEC games you see in league when they play high scoring, and any punt feels like you're losing ground at that point.
Yeah, it does. There was, you know, and I was proud of our team the way we competed. I thought we were hanging in there deep into the third. Those two drives in that third quarter were, you know, I'm really proud of how we ran the ball. We went physically, you know, toe to toe with an SEC team and marched the ball down the field. 10 plays, 75 yards, 5 minutes off the clock, cut the score to 3, then did it again, mostly running the ball again, 10 more plays, 75 more yards. I think that one was more like 4 minutes off the clock, but burned some, you know, ate up some good time there, keeping the game right there within striking distance. And I thought that was a real highlight of the day for me with our players.
Everybody wants to relate what we're seeing to what's going to happen in the Big 12, but let's just maybe talk about it a little bit this way. You've played Baylor, Oregon, Notre Dame, Arkansas, four P5 programs. How do you feel? You've gone through these games now. You've called them. You've seen them every which way. The BYU's matched up, and we'll hope to be able to continue to match up with these kinds of programs.
Well, I think it's, you know, it is you know, let's be real. I mean, these are tough games, and we could have won all four of them. And we could have gone 0-4 in that set too. So we're 1-3 in those four games. We're a couple plays away from being 2-2. And then you could make an argument that we could be 4-0 and 0-4. And that's how Power 5 conferences are. I mean, that's my years in the Pac-12, it's that way. I think the Big 12 will be no different. Every week there's no easy game, there's no gimmies, and you have to come ready to play every game. And I think the other thing that shows up is just the physicality of those games. That becomes a grind when you go 9 straight weeks of that, and you have to be physically ready for that.
Whether it's 9 straight games in league or, in this case, 10 straight weeks of football before a bye, these are the kind of things that you're having to go through right now.
Yeah, and it's good. This is a good, you know, good experience for us to prepare us for that time.
Jaren Hall took a late-ish hit on his throwing shoulder. Saw him stretching it out in the second half. How is he doing right now? He said structurally go okay.
Yeah, I think everything I know, he's fine. And he practiced a lot more last week than the week before the Notre Dame game. He didn't really practice at all. And it was the first time in my career I've ever played a quarterback who didn't take any reps. This week he took a full week's worth of reps, and I thought he played like it on Saturday. He made some really big-time throws in that game. Did some great things, and then, you know, I expect him to take another step forward this week.
Are there coaches who have a rule that if you don't do this, you can't play? And are you one of those coaches that kind of had to break the rule?
I mean, I'm usually one of those. I believe even the best players need to practice to play well. And, you know, even as great as Puka is or Gunner, you know, they come back and they're a little rusty the first game. It takes them a minute to get going again. You know, I think even the best players who have played a lot of football need to practice. And, you know, in that one case, we stuck with Jaren. He's just earned our trust and done so many great things for our program. But he definitely played better this week with practice reps, and it showed, and I expect him to have a full week this week.
You've already underscored how well the offensive line played and how proud you were of the way they ran it against an SEC program in Arkansas, and you've gone to the O-line for your players of the game this week on offense.
Yeah, Kingsley and Clark Barrington gave them co-players of the game. You know, Clark's one of those guys that just quietly goes about his business, and he plays well every week, and then Kingsley, I can say, has gotten better in every single game this year. He's taken a step forward every week, and this week was the best game he's played yet. And he just has so much upside, and he's so physical, and really proud of both those guys, how they played Saturday.
Arkansas's head coach Sam Pittman brought up Kingsley during the week because when Sam Pittman was the O-line coach at Georgia, he was recruiting Kingsley to come to Georgia.
Yeah, Kingsley was a highly recruited guy, and the more he plays, the more he looks like that guy that everybody wanted.
All right, time for a break. We'll come back with some closing comments from the coach and a look ahead to BYU and Liberty with Coach Aaron Roderick. As we break, we remind you that for your daily Cougar Sports play-by-play, you should tune in weekdays to BYU Sports Nation at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. You're in the Coordinator's Corner. We're brought to you by JCW's. More with Coach Aaron Roderick and a look ahead to BYU and Liberty is coming up right after this. Stay with us.
Coordinator's Corner on BYU TV is brought to you by JCW's, The Burger Boys, Built Bar, Fuel the Journey, and by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, The Burger Boys, visiting with BYU's offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. This Saturday, it's BYU and Liberty. Flames 6-1 after a weekend comeback win over their FCS opponent, Gardner-Webb. You're really careful with the football, and they lead the nation in takeaways.
Yeah, they are a very good defense. Like you mentioned, 6-1. They take the ball away, and they're very good on third down.
Excellent third down defensive team.
I saw their average third down is 9.1 yards or something like that. What that tells me is they're stopping the run on first and second down, and they're getting people into third and long. And so they're very good on defense, very physical front seven, and good length in the secondary. So it's going to be a fun challenge.
Good team pass efficiency defense as well, pretty well-rounded. Yep. But how good are they based on quality of opponent? Let's say you played the tougher schedule, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun part about college football is, you know, there's so much variety in who you play. And so you're trying to, you know, make comparisons and those things. And all we can do is look at the film, see what they do scheme wise, hopefully we can find some weaknesses. There aren't a lot of them. And then we'll figure out a good game plan to go give them a good game.
You know, they'll be pumped for this, having a team like BYU come to their place.
I've heard it's sold out. I know it's a big deal. One of our coaches knows a guy there and said that this is a really big deal, and it's going to be quite a weekend.
Looking forward to the environment. Well, good luck in the prep and the best of luck on the weekend, and we'll see you back here next week, Coach.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, that is Coach Aaron Roderick, and that'll do it for our Week 8 edition of the Coordinator's Corner. It is BYU and Liberty Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 1:30 Mountain, 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time pregame on radio and TV, BYU Radio and BYU TV. All right, that'll do it. For coaches Tuiaki and Roderick, my name is Greg Rubel. Thank you for tuning in to the Coordinator's Corner. We'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great week, and go Cougs.